Thanks, Colin. If you have a Bible with you, please grab it now or turn it on if it's on your phone or on some other device. There are some small group leaders' notes here. If you'd like a Bible, if you don't have one, wave your hand in the air. Stewards can bring one to you. And we are going to be reading from John's Gospel, chapter 14. John 14, starting to read at verse 12. If you have one of the red church Bibles, that's on page 1082. 1082. John 14, starting at verse 12. Jesus is speaking and he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Jesus, we thank you for your words that are recorded for us here in this passage that we've read. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you will lead us into your truth as you have promised that you will. Amen. Amen. Let me just turn this on. We'll use this in a moment. I wonder if you have any if-only situations or sentiments, thoughts in your life. There's a couple that have come to my mind, which I think are going to come up on the screen. And I'll be honest with you, they link with one of my own New Year's resolutions. The first one, if only I could lose weight as easily as I lose my keys. That would be helpful. Second one, if it's going to flick over, there we go. If only mosquitoes sucked fat instead of blood. Anyone with me on that one? If only. More seriously, perhaps you've got some more serious if onlys in your life. If only I'd gone for that job. If only I hadn't gone for that job. If only I hadn't said that thing that I said. If only I hadn't done that thing that I did. If only I hadn't made that decision. Or I wonder about it, how in your Christian life, in your walk with God, if only I had more faith. If only I prayed more. If only I felt a bit bolder. If only the church had more influence in this world, had more impact. Or even if only Jesus was in the world today. Wouldn't that be amazing? His miracles would impact so many people. His teaching, he could teach so much better than anybody else could ever teach. If only. Well, today we're going to look at the passage that we read, some words of Jesus, some of his final words to his followers, and in particular to the promise that Jesus makes to them, and I believe to us there, a promise which is absolutely staggering. And it has something to say to those of us who might be tempted to think, if only Jesus was still here. Did you notice it as we read it earlier on? Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He'll do even greater things than these because I am going away. I'm going to the Father. He starts with, truly, I say to you. He's emphasizing something that he's thought about, what he's going to say, and he wants people to take special notice of it. Take notice of what I'm about to say, this staggering promise. And I just want us to think about it, to unpack it a little bit by asking four questions of it. And the first question is this, who? Who is this promise for? Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. I don't know if you saw the footage recently of the wildfires that in California. Did you see that? With just out of control, spreading through the countryside, destroying so much. There's a story that I heard that was linked with that. I don't know if it's true. But it was of when the fires first started and first took hold and first kind of began to get out of control, a TV cameraman got permission from his TV company to charter a plane so they could fly over the fires and he could take footage of it for their TV news. He got permission. He was told that when he got to the airfield, there'll be a twin-engine plane there waiting for him, ready to go. So he drove to the airfield. When he got there, sure enough, there was an aeroplane there. He jumped on it with his camera bag, slammed the door, shouted to the pilot, "Okay, let's go, let's go." So the pilot taxied out and turned into the wind and took off. And the cameraman shouted through to him, "If you could just kind of fly, make a low pass along the valley where the fires are, that would be fantastic." And the pilot said, "What do you mean? Why would you do that?" He said, "Well, you know, I'm a cameraman. I need to get footage of the fires for the TV station. That's why I'm here." At which point the pilot paused for a moment and said, "You mean you're not my flying instructor?" Mistaken identity. Got the wrong person. When it comes to this promise, Jesus, I think, is really, really clear. There is no chance of mistaken identity. There is no mistaking who this promise is for. Jesus himself says, "Anyone who has faith in me." This is who this is for. Not just for you who are in this room with me right at this moment listening to these words of mine. Not just for those who I'm going to appoint as apostles to establish the early church. Jesus says this promise is for anyone who has faith in him. Now, my guess is that that will include most of the people in this room this morning. If you have faith in Jesus, then this is for you, this is for me. So listen carefully, because this is about to get very, very exciting. Second question, what is the promise? What does Jesus promise here? "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these." In the original language that this is written in, that's not two separate sentences. It's actually one sentence with an "and" in the middle. "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing and will do even greater things than these." This is the promise. So to understand this, we need to think about what Jesus has been doing. And in John's Gospel, this book that these words are taken from, these are some of the things that Jesus has been doing. He's been able to give words of knowledge to people. He's been showing love and compassion to people, especially the poor and the needy. He turned water into wine at a wedding. He's been giving words of prophecy. He opposed the thieves and the fraudsters in the temple. He has been teaching about the kingdom of God and what it means to be saved. And he's been teaching that to people who are Jewish and people who are not Jewish. He has healed the sick, the blind, and the lame. He fed over 5,000 people with one little boy's packed lunch. He has walked on the water. He has raised Lazarus from the dead. He's just washed his disciples' feet. And Jesus himself says, "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing." And this is what he's been doing. That is a staggering promise, isn't it? And that's not all. He will do what I've been doing and he will do greater things than these. What does that mean? I don't think it means you'll just do more things than I've been doing because there are more of you and there's only one of me. There's a Greek word for more and he doesn't use that word. I don't think he means you'll do even greater things than these, meaning that they'll be more spectacular than the things that I've been doing. I think it's hard to imagine anything that's more spectacular than raising someone from the dead or feeding thousands and thousands of people with a tiny little lunchbox of food. I think the clue to understanding what he means by greater things than these is in the answer to the why question. Jesus tells us, "All this you will do because I am going away. I'm going to the Father." When Jesus goes to the Father, when he goes back to God, he goes to God as the crucified, risen, ascended Savior of the world. He goes to be seated at the right hand of God in heaven, and we are told that all authority in heaven and on earth is going to be given to him because he has defeated sin and death and the devil. And when he goes to the Father, that together they will send the Holy Spirit to everyone who has faith in him. Did you notice that in verse 16 as we read it from our passage? When I go to the Father, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you, the Spirit of Truth. And some of his very, very final words to his followers in Acts chapter 2, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. I think what he means here by greater things than the wonderful things that he's been doing is that Jesus' followers, filled with the Holy Spirit, will bring other people to faith in him, the King of Kings and the Savior of the world. It is amazing to see somebody healed, isn't it? What could be greater than setting someone free from the symptoms of their illness? Setting them free from the power and the penalty of sin for all eternity. It would be totally amazing to see somebody brought back to life, wouldn't it? What is greater than raising someone from the dead who's eventually going to die again at some point, as Lazarus did? Surely it is seeing them receive eternal life as they trust in the risen King Jesus so that they will never die. Jesus says, you will do these things that I've been doing and greater things than that. You will bring people into eternal life in the kingdom of God. Is anyone getting excited about this? If we were in another denomination, at least one person would be shouting amen or something at this point. Surely. And this brings us to the final question. How will those who trust in Jesus do all these things that he's talking about? Jesus says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You do these things through prayer. It's not that when you trust in Jesus, all of a sudden you're imparted with some magical powers that you can go and do these things. You're not given access to some kind of secret formula or incantation or, you know, form of words that you use, but you are given access to him in prayer directly. You can come to him in prayer. The Bible says with all kinds of prayers and requests, to pray continually all the time. And we're told to ask in his name. For the glory of God. A name is so much more than a label by which we identify people, isn't it? If you do something in somebody's name, you're attaching their identity to it. You're claiming their authority for it. Before I came into ministry, I used to work as a pharmacist in a psychiatric hospital in London, in Tooting. And we had all kinds of people from all different backgrounds, different walks of life who would be admitted there needing treatment. And on one occasion, we had basically a local gangster admitted to the hospital. He was involved in all loads of different stuff, and he was very unwell. And together with the team of people that I worked with, we did a good job on him. We helped him get a huge amount better. And just as he was about to be discharged from the hospital, I was talking with him, and he said, Andy, if you ever find yourself in any bother around here, in Tooting, Streatham, just mention my name. You'll be all right. It'll be sweet. Now, if I'd taken his word for that, and if I'd gone into the local florist, for example, and said, you've heard this guy's name? Can you give me some tips on flower arranging? I imagine they'd have thought, what are you talking about? Whereas if I'd find myself in some real bother with some other local gangsters and I mentioned his name, then I imagine it would have had some kind of impact. If we use someone's name, if we want to use someone's name, it needs to be in keeping with who they are. It needs to fit with what they stand for, what they believe. And if we do that, then it can carry their authority. When it comes to the name of Jesus, Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. There is nothing that is impossible for him. So we can ask big questions of him. We can ask miraculous things of him. We need to make sure we keep it is in keeping with who he is. He's not going to go against his own nature or his plans or his purposes in this world. And what are those purposes? Those purposes are to bring glory to the Father. That's what he did when he was on the earth. That's what he continues to do now. So how are we, as people who have faith in him, going to start doing these things? We do them through prayer. Nothing fancy, just praying in faith. If there's something that you'd like to see an answer to, then you simply ask in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. So what do we make of this? What do you make of this? I'm sure there are lots of possible responses to this. I just want to think about two. The first response to what we've heard could be something like this. Okay, I believe that Jesus said it. It's in the Bible. But it must mean something different to what you've said it means this morning, or what perhaps it appears to mean, because this isn't my experience. It's not my experience personally. It's not what I see in the lives of other Christians around me or in the church today. And I imagine there may be many people here who share that response. You don't see miracles being done. I don't see answers to all my prayers. And I know that's the same for other Christians too. So what is going on? Why did Jesus say this? Did he mean what he said? We could do a whole series of sermons just on that question, which I'm very happy to do, but we probably haven't got time this morning. I just want to say a couple of things. Firstly, on miracles, on the things that Jesus did when he was on the earth. Don't give up on the miracles that Jesus promises here. They have always been a part of the story of the Church of Jesus. They always have, and they continue to be today. If you read biographies of people like Smith Wigglesworth, who was a man of God in this country, Roy Godwin in Wales, for example, Brother Yun in China, Heidi Baker working in Mozambique, to name just a few, they are people who are praying and seeing thousands of people healed, thousands of people saved. They do see people raised from the dead today. They see multitudes of people being fed when they haven't got enough food to feed them all. They see it multiplied before their very eyes today, in the world today, in 2018. And the accounts of this stuff is available for you to read. You can look it on the internet. There are books that these people have written. You can speak to people who've been associated with the ministries that they have. Do that. Find out about this kind of stuff. Read their accounts, because it will build your faith. Miracles are happening in the world today. In Maldamanna Community Church, in the last few weeks, we've had two testimonies of people being healed when people have prayed for them. We had a guy with a knee problem who had someone pray for him, and his knee was healed. We had another lady who has had problems. She's had pain in her leg for 10 years, and people prayed for her in faith that she would be healed, and now she started jogging, and it's not hurting anymore, because this is our God, and he will answer prayers today. Just because you don't see answers to your prayers, don't give up asking. The devil loves that if we do that. We need to base what we believe and what we do on the promises of God. Not on our own experience or lack of experience or our own feelings, because those things will lead us astray. But this is the eternal word of God. In the book of James, the writer there, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "You do not have because you don't ask God. You stopped asking." Have you given up asking? Have you given up expecting? Have you given up trusting that this is who God is? He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And Jesus is the one whose words these are. It's not somebody else saying, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus' followers could do these kinds of things? It's Jesus himself. And he's saying, if you have faith in me, you will do what I've been doing and even greater things than these. Don't give up on miracles. What about unanswered prayer? Very quickly, a couple of things to say. First one is, there's something in prayer about perseverance. Jesus' teaching on prayer, some of the parables that he told, repeatedly emphasized the need for us to persevere in prayer. Now, that in itself can raise more questions for us, certainly for me, because we believe that God could do anything instantly. So why doesn't he? Something I think is partly to do with what actually persisting in prayer does for us and in us. We need to keep persevering, keep asking, keep at it, keep going. Don't stop, don't give up. John Wimber, who some of you may have heard the name of, the founder of the Vineyard Movement, one of the instrumental figures in reminding the church about the power of the Holy Spirit. He read passages like the one that we've read today, and he came to believe, you know what, God wants us to be praying for healing for people. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient. His own testimony is that he prayed for over 100 people before he saw a single answer to any of his prayers. But then throughout the course of his ministry, he saw thousands and thousands of people healed through the power of prayer. There's something about perseverance in prayer. And the same applies to all our prayers for everything, not simply for healing, but for God to work in our relationships and or to bring peace to the world, for the provision of the things that we need, for people to come to faith. Sometimes we need to keep at it and keep persevering. We see also here something about our motives. The motive of Jesus is always that he would bring glory to God, the Father. And he sees the whole picture that we don't see. He knows the end from the beginning. The Bible tells us his ways are not our ways. I don't know about you, I find that infuriating sometimes. I find that so frustrating. Because I'm praying for something and it's a good thing. And I think it would bring glory to God, and still yet God doesn't answer it. We don't see answers to all of our prayers in the way that we hope that they might be answered. But we can still trust that he's in control. We can still trust that he is loving. We can still trust that he is just and fair, and that he knows what he is doing, and that his promises are true, and that he will bring glory to the Father in his way. So that may be one response. We believe these are Jesus' words, but second response might be that we believe it and actually we act like we believe it. We pray big prayers. We step out in faith. We decide, you know what, God has said this and I want to be obedient to what God has said. And what he's called me and us to do. And the results are down to him. I can trust him with that. But I'm going to do what he has asked me to do. You know, me and Johnny, Sarah, Kate, we want this church, NMBC, we want Maldermanor Community Church to be a church where we believe what Jesus has said. And we trust that his promises are true, and we're ready to get out of our comfort zones. And even though we still have questions, we will still take a step of faith. And we want to be a church that is ready to be the church that God has called us to be for the world that so desperately needs to hear about him. We want to see more than we've seen already. We want our children to see more than they've seen already. That we will be a group of people who say, you know what, Jesus has said this. This is a promise of the Son of God, and so I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to live like I believe it. There's a quote, which I'm sure you've heard before, which has been attributed to a number of different people, one of whom was Henry Ford, the guy who set up the car company. It's not important, really, who it was. But the word says this. If you keep on doing the same things you've always done, then you'll keep on getting what you've always got. That's a challenge for me. Maybe that's a challenge for some of you too. When I've just been tempted to give up on the big prayers. Tempted to think miracles were perhaps for a bygone age. Tempted to think Jesus must have meant something different, even though it seems pretty clear what he said. So I want us to finish with these words, because these are the words of Jesus, the Son of God, the one to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, the one to whom we have direct access in prayer. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and he will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Shall we pray? Perhaps the band could come back up onto the stage as we pray. That'd be great. Father God, we thank you for the Bible. Jesus, we thank you that your very words are recorded for us here. And I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying to us. I pray you give us minds to understand what you're saying to us. I pray you give us hearts to embrace what you're saying to us. That you give us faith to act on what you're saying to us. And we pray this for your glory and your fame in this world today. Amen.